This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's go around the NFL in the loop style.
Why are you smiling?
Because I love football.
Brought to you by Quick Assist. Here's John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
I'm going to tell you all about how much fun you're going to have this season.
On Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
Yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Figgy Fig, and Reginald Adetula hanging out with you on a victory reaction Monday. Texas went 23-20. We're trying to get through all of that, figure out our emotions on this Monday. But let's take a break from the Texans and talk about the rest of the NFL and going around the NFL, which is brought to you by Quick Assist. Got extra game day tickets? Turn them into cash with Quick Assist. Download Quick Assist from your app store today to find H-Town fans looking for seats. Q-U-I-C-K-A-S-Y-S-T. Quick Assist, your ticket everywhere. All right. So National Tight Ends Day. First of all, were you familiar with this? You weren't familiar
no
with
idea.
This?
How do you celebrate National Tight Ends Day?
By looking at keisters. I don't know. No, I have no idea. Like, I have no idea what the celebration is besides just watching football. So yeah. This unofficial holiday was started by the Niners and George Kittle. Mm-hmm. Apparently, there was an instance where, somebody was just cooking for the Niners. And the quarterback was like, what is it, National Tight Ends Day? And George Kittle was like, yeah, it is.
It absolutely
And so
is.
They have established that the fourth weekend in October is National Tight Ends Day.
Well, they celebrated.
They sure did. 16 touchdowns by 14 tight ends, 177 total receptions, a couple of tight ends picked up a two-touchdown situation. But this is the most touchdowns on this made-up occasion in the 6 years that it's happened. It seems like tight ends, man, having a good time.
Including, Schultz, Dalton Schultz, nice little effort, especially in the first half, but nice little effort yesterday. Yeah, I guess it works because tight ends. Travis Kelce got his first touchdown of the year on National Tight Ends Day.
Yeah, early in that game, too. Yeah. Like, he was locked. Kittle added in. Mark Andrews made sure. I do wonder, like, now that it has become a thing, at least around the NFL, do you think that this could be like self-fulfilling prophecy where you come into this weekend, you know, hey, man, make sure your safeties or your linebackers are on your P's and Q's because they're trying to find that tight end.
I mean, quarterbacks are human, too. I think quarterbacks might even look that way a little more. Who knows? I mean, it's definitely on the table that it could be self-fulfilling, so to speak.
Well, yeah. Very thankful to George Kittle then for that because Dalton Schultz needed that game, didn't he? Mm-hmm. Like, he...
Well, we were wondering about Dalton Schultz and came up with a couple of big plays.
Yeah, early and often. 6 targets, 4 receptions, 52 yards for Dalton Schultz. Mm-hmm. Solid performance for your Texans. And shout out to all the tight ends out there and all the people that appreciate them. And I hope that your fantasy team benefited from that, from one of those.
I think so. A little bit.
Who's your fantasy tight end? Nobody cares about your tight end except for this very moment.
What's his name at Buffalo?
Dalton Knox?
No, not Knox. The other one.
Kincaid.
Dalton Kincaid. Yeah, Dalton Kincaid. I think he got one.
Dawson Knox. See, I went
in. No, Dalton Kincaid got a touchdown. I think he got a touchdown.
You know, congratulations. Hope everybody
We all celebrate.
I didn't do anything special for tight end day. So, I guess, I don't know. Do I need to make up for that today?
Like, what's the meal?
What do tight ends do?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what the special thing is for tight ends. All right, so not a tight end. A wide receiver got to have a special moment yesterday. With a crazy ending in Washington, it was the Commanders, it was Bears, and it came down to the very end. It was a tight game, and ultimately, a Hail Mary gets thrown up mm-hmm. by Jaden Daniels. It's tipped, and it's caught by none other than Noah Brown to allow the Commanders to get an 18-15 victory over the Chicago Bears. What were your emotions in that moment when you saw Noah Brown coming up clutch once again for a football?
First of all, shout out to Noah Brown. I mean, that was big time. And I thought it was, like, it's hard to say, it was a perfectly executed Hail Mary.
I don't think that there are, I don't know, do, yeah, do it's perfectly hard to say. Executed it's hard Hail Marys to say. Exist?
But everything that you want to happen on a perfectly executed Hail Mary happened. And you'll hear this in my confessions in about an hour and 20 minutes as well. You know, a lot has been made of Tyreek Stevenson sort of, you know, celebrating the win. Off
yeah,
to the
literally
side.
The ball is snapped.
Yeah, he's got his back.
And his back is to the play. He's out here jawing with fans. He turns around because Jane
like,
Daniels.
Oh, snap. He goes.
Jane Daniels obviously taking time to let his wide receivers get down there. You know, Stevenson turns around, gets back to play, and ultimately is the man who tips the ball that goes backward and is caught by Noah Brown. Is that fair or foul? I need to ask
That's
you.
My confession. I'll give it to you right now. I don't think that play, I think it still would have been tipped. Now, maybe it wouldn't have been tipped the exact same way, but it still would have been tipped because everybody behind his hand had their hands the same place.
Yeah.
So it could have easily, like, he's getting destroyed as well he should, you know, just for the celebration part. But then he snapped and he went over there and tipped the ball. Someone else was going to tip that ball.
But see, the thing is, if let's say he tipped the ball down and pretty much won the game.
Yeah.
Then that would have looked fly.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, I was talking smack to the crowd, came in,
went over,
knocked the
made
ball
a play.
Down. Yeah. But
it's like that one hooper, that one street ball hooper who went and took a puff of the hookah on the sideline and then got the ball in and then went and dunked it.
Yeah, hookah Doncic.
Yeah, that would have been incredible, and yet it wasn't. So
That was kind of like that Nick Young moment where he shot the three, turned around like, hey, and he missed it. Yeah, that's all it was.
Swaggy P.
Yeah.
In fact, now Tyquan Stevenson, Swaggy T at this point. And, I mean, we don't really got a lot of love for him around these parts either because he was out here acting a fool week two, wasn't he?
Yep.
And so was he the player that actually called? He was the hip drop guy, wasn't he?
Stevenson?
Was it Tyquan?
Oh, Tyquan.
Stevenson? Yeah.
It might have been.
It might have been.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, so hold that.
You know what? It was.
Yeah, he could hold that. Now, earlier, Payne and Pendergrass were talking about this, and they alluded to how this now brings up a point of focus again for the Texans as they head into a short week, because there is one person in particular who seems to be unreasonably good at Hail Mary.
Yes, it is.
And that is Aaron Rodgers. That is something that you might have to pay attention to with the Jets, should you come to that perspective. But another thing that you have to pay attention to that goes against the Jets is that in the course of their game this week, Jets became the first team since 2013 to do a thing in particular, which was call all three timeouts in the first quarter.
How?
They're in such a bad... That's coaching.
It's Nathaniel Hackett, actually the head coach.
That is an interim coach that is just out here doing things.
Yeah.
So I fully anticipate the Texans having the coaching advantage.
Oh,
on Thursday.
For sure. But short week in New York, now they're really up. They're a mess. I mean, they are an absolute mess. There's nothing going right for the Jets. I anticipate an easy, relatively, given the short week, sort of bounce back game for the Texans. But that doesn't mean it's not going to be close.
No, and the one thing I always have a little concern about with these Thursday games is that the road team has an even shorter
hard
week.
Time.
And so those are usually tougher, but it makes me feel better seeing that the Jets out here squandering whatever things that they have available to them coaching-wise. Shout out to, Jeff Olbricht, his name?
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to you, calling all those timeouts in the first quarter. First of all, I was surprised that somebody had the wherewithal to go into the archives and find when was the last time someone did that. And I was also surprised to see that it really doesn't happen ever.
2013.
Over a decade ago.
God almighty. And they actually... I mean, they actually were like in total control and then just completely collapsed. Not total control, but in control and then completely collapsed. It's a mess with the Jets right now.
Yeah, I saw Damian Woody on Get Up talking about it and saying it's over for them. The Aaron Rodgers era is over. And I was like, damn, grand opening, grand closing, huh?
Yeah.
Man.
Well,
don't close before the Texans get a win.
How's that Devontae Adams thing working out?
Well,
I told you that wasn't going to do nothing, man. That wasn't going to fix nothing.
And when Figgy says it, he is indeed right.
Yeah.
All right, some other things around the NFL. Jameis Winston, doing things.
God love that man.
He just...
God love that man.
He's unintentionally funny, but it's also getting to a point where I do wonder if I just am starting to not like him at all.
I'm so liking him more.
Before the game, Jameis Winston was interviewed, and he said he had this to say.
Jameis, I can tell you're taking it all in right now. You're about to make your first start since 2022. Ken Dorsey said that he's been preaching to you to play smart but not conservative. What do you expect from yourself?
This is the day that the Lord has made. I will be glad and rejoice. Mm.
You're looking really focused right now. You told us this week that everyone inside this building believes that this is the time you guys can turn it around. What's been the message?
Unwavering faith, ultimate belief, dependent on the Lord. That's all we got.
You told me no nerves, just excitement and butterflies. Still feel that way?
Unwavering faith, ultimate belief, dependence on the Lord.
The message is clear, guys. Thank you, Jameis.
Why is he like this?
I shouldn't have knew they was going to win that game, man.
The funniest part about Jameis Winston is it's not an act.
He's no, dead serious.
It's not putting he's on.
He's dead serious,
yes,
man.
Yes.
So, like, it's not like he's just a little corny.
It's him.
I don't say that because, like, the religious aspect of it, it's just this is, like, it all feels so, like, overwrought.
Yes.
And contrived, except it's not. It's absolutely.
It's the eyes. It's his eyes.
It is. He's just like, it's unbelievable.
I can't unsee this. I think it was a Browns player tweeted and said every time he's in a huddle and he's calling the play, look like he about to tell a secret.
Hey, guys, did you hear? Here's where we're running.
All right, here's the play.
I got to know if he's a preacher's kid because he definitely speaks like he is.
He didn't he get his license to,
I don't know.
I think a minister? I think so. Where he can actually marry people.
Efficient.
Yeah, but you ain't got to be no pressure.
You ain't got to be no pastor to be able to do that.
But he seemed like he's into it, though.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. I just thought about it. Please don't invite me to no weddings that Jameis Winston's officiating.
I
think he did officiate somebody's wedding.
Please don't do that. It would be awesome.
I think it's online somewhere. I think you can find it.
Oh, man. I can't imagine what that's like.
And by the way, a lot better than Deshaun Watson.
At football, yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
100%. A lot better than Deshaun Watson. Like, oh my gosh, he had to watch Deshaun.
It's like, oh, yes, he had a chance to win.
He's going through his progressions. He's looking off receivers. He's putting the ball where it needs to be.
Yeah, I mean, he threw 33 touchdowns in a season one time. Like, you can't forget that was a thing.
I will say he should have had like 4 interceptions, though, man.
That's Jameis Winston for you.
I know, but Baltimore just dropping the ball.
Yeah.
Man.
How about after the game? How about after the game?
After the Browns somehow secure a 29-24 victory, including a Jameis Winston game-winning drive, this was Jameis.
Not often that you get another opportunity like you have just received in the NFL. What does it mean to lead these guys, and what could be the start of what you said is something special moving forward?
Man, it's a white boy from Detroit that I really admire named Eminem. He said, you only get one shot. Do not miss your chance to blow. This opportunity lasts once in a lifetime. And I know I got a quote, you know, Eminem, he's from Detroit, he's right up the road. But, man, I'm just grateful. I'm grateful that the Lord provided me with this opportunity. I'm grateful for my teammates, my coaches, and these amazing fans.
Unbelievable performance today. Congratulations, Jameis.
How do you not love him? He goes from the Bible to Eminem.
I like how he said, like, oh, it's a white boy that you probably never heard of.
That's exactly how Eminem. That's exactly how damn near every preacher would set that up. Right? And there's this one white boy once said. Right? Like, that's exactly.
You might not know him.
I'm certain.
It was a boxer by the name of Cassius Clay.
You might know him as Muhammad Ali. Right?
No, we all know.
Y'all never heard of Cassius Clay.
Actually, we did. We have.
Ah, oh, Jameis. Also, of all people to quote, Eminem, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Like, just, he's such a unique individual, and that's the nicest way that I can
say it. He's the
best. Yeah.
Got to protect Jameis at all costs.
I don't think we have to do all that. We'll check in every once in a while, but protecting might be a little bit much.
How is Cleveland looking up on these two great type of quarterbacks, though? Because they had this moment with Joe Flacco, where everybody got Flacco fever, Now everybody loves Jameis. Everybody got the Jameis Winston's fever now.
Well, how much of that is lucking up and how much of that is like creating a juxtaposition where anything is better than Deshaun Watson?
Well, that too.
Yeah.
But they've been, that well, Flacco, be we'll see him on Jameis. But Flacco played, man.
Yeah.
He played.
I mean, Jameis will play. Yeah. Up until now, he don't.
And these two is just so lovable, though.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that could mean because of who they had.
Who was not lovable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, shout out to Jameis Winston. Always giving us content or something to talk about. We don't have time to get all the way into this. However, Sunday Night Football, the Dallas Cowboys were throttled pretty heavily after a third quarter that the Niners really got into.
Kind of turned it up.
Really turned it up. And this is against a walking mash unit of a San Francisco Niners team. First of all, Deebo Samuel not only plays in this game, but plays well in this game after like having pneumonia during the course of this week. What chances 1 to 10 that you're showing up to work that week to play football?
After pneumonia?
Yeah. Because, like, my answer is very low. Yeah, it's incredibly low.
0.5.
I just keep looking at this, and I'm like, football players are different.
They're from a different planet, I've told you before.
They are incredibly different. Yeah. Later in this show, we will get into what happened after the game in which the Cowboys players are apparently taken after their team owner. And lashing out at the media because Trayvon Diggs, after the game, saw a tweet that questioned his vigor in playing defensive football and going for a tackle. And he went and he left the locker room fully dressed, right, still in his uniform. Only thing he didn't have was his helmet. And he went and accosted that media member to talk to that man about why he would impugn his good name.
Yes.
And we'll get you the audio later in the show. But yes.
How did he put it?
Things are not going great. Things are not going great for the Cowboys who fell to the Niners. They are 3-4, funny enough. Like that is they're in a bad way. So they're struggling a little bit, which right about on time for here in a few weeks. What is it, 3 weeks?
Yeah, McCaffrey coming back.
Yeah, McCaffrey is coming back for, he went to Germany. It looks like that got things together for him.
Mm-hmm.
Niners trending in the right direction themselves as well.
Yeah.
You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. That's around the NFL here in the loop. Coming up next, was this a Pyrrhic victory? Did they just, even in getting a win, did they take too many losses in the course of this? We'll talk about that next.